I certainly would. I would certainly hope that I am counted among your friends, Brother Bell. Because as strong as he is, I'd hate to be an enemy. Seriously, I'd rather always be your friend. You know, I really have to say to begin with that song, of course, I don't know if y'all know it or not, but Roger wrote that song. And needless to say, it's a beautiful song. He's written two or three songs, and that happens to be one of the two that I really think is extra special. And I think Roger's to be commended, not because of anything except he's taken a talent that God has chosen to give him, and he's worked with it. He's used it, and he's offered it to you for God's glorification. Brothers and sisters, look at it and see and tell me, when is enough? Really enough? When are we going to accept the Word of God as being the Word of God, or His counsel as being the counsel of God? By the same token, when are we going to recognize that the arm of flesh is very simply the lust, the selfishness of man? Now, I'm sure that we all agree that when we need counsel, when we need instruction, we don't need someone to stand up here and tell us what for, how come, why not, and because he should have anyway. So let's go to where we're instructed to go to the Bible and the Book of Mormon. God's Word. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, I think gives us an idea of what we should recognize about the arm of flesh and the faith in God above, your Master, our God. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8 says, "Thus saith the Lord," Lord capitalized, "cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord," capitalized. "For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord," capitalized, "and whose hope," the Lord, capitalized, "is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Blessed is he that trusteth in the arm of God." Peter, 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, the 1st and the 2nd verses also relates to the question of deciding what is the arm of flesh and what is the faith in God above. "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." Be like him. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, if you want to, if that's what pleases you. He's saying, be like-minded. It's very simple. It's very basic. "For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Brothers and sisters, when is enough enough? When are we going to accept the Word of God above, the counsel that we receive in our hearts and our minds and our souls, when are we going to receive it as from God? Now, everybody that was at Phoenix knows that I'm not very good at telling stories. But everybody that knows me knows that I'm from Missouri, and I keep trying and trying and trying. So anyway, I've got another story, so bear with me. But there one time there was this flood. Now, we can all relate to the water we've had recently and the flooding conditions we've had all over the United States, even the perilous times they're having over in Utah. Tell me they can't even ship any coal out. But anyway, seems like this town was flooding. And of course the National Guard was out in their boats and they were going up and down the streets and they were trying to save all the citizens of this town they could. And so they came up, they came up to the preacher's house, and National Guardman says, "Preacher, you better get over here in this boat." He says, "It's gonna slap over your porch now. It's gonna be going in your house and you need help to get out of here." Preacher says, no, my son." He said, "It's alright." He said, "I'll stand on the faith of God." The National Guardman said, "Preacher, come on, it's getting into your house." He says, "My son, I'll stand on the faith of God." "Okay," says he. Went down the road, or went down the, in his rowboat or his motorboat to pick up some more good citizens. About 2 hours later, the National Guardman comes back. This time the preacher's looking out of the second story window. The water's raised up the second story window in 2 hours. National Guardman says, "Preacher, you've got to get in this boat." He says, "You're going to drown." He says, no, my son. "I preach and I work and I live by faith." He said, "I'm standing on the word of God. I'm going to be saved." National Guardman says, "Okay, preacher." He says, you have it your way." He went on down and got some more citizens. Well, a couple hours went past, or an hour went past, and National Guardman came back, and sure enough, here's the preacher. He's up on the very peak of the house. And the National Guardman comes up in the boat. The preacher says, "Don't even say it, my son." He said, "I'm standing on the faith of God." The National Guardman says, "Preacher, have it your own way. Have it your way." Preacher says, "I'm standing on the faith of God, son. I'm going to be saved." So the preacher died in the flood. He drowned it. He went up to the gates, St. Peter, and he says, "St. Peter, who did I work for all this time?" St. Peter said, "What?" He said, "Here I spent my whole life working for you, serving you, and I kept witnessing to that National Guardsman that I was standing on the faith." And St. Peter says, "We sent a boat for you 3 times. What else do you want?" When is enough really enough? When do we listen to the Word of God? Why was the Restoration so unique back in the 1820s, 1830s? Why was Joseph Smith dealt with as a nut by the Methodist minister that he went and shared his experience in the Grove with? Why? Because Joseph Smith believed that God could deal with them just as much then as he had way back when. And brothers and sisters, look at the teachings that we have verified by the Holy Scriptures. We have that same teaching and that same source available to us today because Joseph Smith and the men and our forefathers believed that God had the power and the might and the love for His children here on earth to give us a source, to give us a life raft, to give us a balloon, if you will. But thank God He chose to give it to us. If we listen to it, hearken unto the counsel of the Lord. Look at James 1, 5 and 6. It says, "If any man lacketh wisdom, let him come unto me. And in faith believing, nothing wavering, he shall receive." Nothing wavering, though. There's a tie to it, a prerequisite, if you will. You've got to do it God's way. You go to Acts 2, 17 and 18. Acts 2, 17 and 18 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." They shall. James 5, 13, 15 says, "If there are any sick among you, let them call for the elders. They will anoint them with the oil. And the prayer of faith shall raise them up. And the God will heal them. And if they have committed any sins..." If they have committed any sins, not maybe, just about practically, if they have committed sins, they will be forgiven them. You'd almost think that God gave us a positive religion here, folks. Look in Mark, 13th chapter. The 9th through the 11th verse, it says, "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you to councils. And in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Counsel, the person that we want to be." Turn in that same chapter, the 13th chapter, 33rd to the 37th verse says, "But if that day, that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." What does he tell us? In those two scriptures, he tells us to do something. He tells us to watch and obey. He gives us the authority to function, the necessary tools to do our job, to watch and to obey. Brothers and sisters, where are the visions? Where are the prophecies? Where are the dreams? Where are the miraculous healings? We have them to some degree. I'm not poo-pooing that. I'm not belittling that. We have these blessings. We have these favors. But do we have them to the fullest potential that God in heaven wishes us to have them? And if we don't have them to the fullest expectation and desires of our Master in heaven, why don't we have them? Is it His fault? Or have we not partaken of the goodness that He has available for us? Last camp for all ages, Brother Yates, and I'm sure many of you have heard his testimony, so I've asked Brother Yates if I can use the testimony, and he's given me permission, of course. Sure that many of you have heard it, so help me here, because I'm not real good with the memory, but he said that while in Yucatan, one time he had a dream, and they were having to stay in this town and travel 5 or 10 miles over to this town or village, and they would hold their services, and it would be very late at night, and then they would drive back. Well, he had a dream one night, and in this dream he saw half of a snake, and he saw some of the members of the church around in Yucatan there. And Brother Yates knew that that snake was being told that it was dead. It was harmless. But Brother Yates knew that it had danger in it, that it was about to harm them in some way, harm them physically, and harm the gospel work that God had given Brother Yates to do. Now, there was a young elder in the dream also, and he said, "There's nothing wrong. That snake is dead. It proposes no danger whatsoever." And he reached down to prove to Brother Yates that it was dead. And when he grabbed it, it bit him. The evil snake bit him. Brother Yates, a few days later, they decided that he wasn't going to come back and forth through this jungle because he knew there was danger lurking. So they stayed over at this village. A few days later, there had been some young men that were traveling with Brother Yates. So he found them and asked them why they had chosen not to attend the services over in this other village. And they told him because some men, 4 or 5 men, had caught them and told them that if they were with the white man, that they were going to be harmed. They would be killed if they got in their way. And consequently, they chose not to go back. In the dream, Brother Yates saw a young man who was bitten by the snake. That young elder in the Church of Christ later left the church, bitten by the evil one. Brothers and sisters, I asked Brother Yates in Houston and also at Camp Roll, or in Houston on a telephone call when I asked him if I could use that testimony. I said, Brother Yates, did you get a thus saith the Spirit? He said, no. I said, did you have time to go around and check the dream with anybody else? He said, no, I had to respond to it. And even though the young elder counseled him against what Brother Yates knew the Spirit was prompting him, what happened to the young elder? Thank God above that Brother Yates responded to the counsel of a dream, even though there was no thus saith the Spirit, even though there was no two witnesses. Brother Housenick had a dream some time back. I remember him relating it at conference a couple, 3 years ago about the Church of Christ being at a crossroads. Brothers and sisters, I think Brother Housenick is exactly right. We are at a crossroads. The body of Christ, you and I are at a crossroads. At this crossroads, we have to decide if we will take our instruction from God, whether to go to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. We have to take our instruction from God. Are we going to continue to question and to challenge everything that comes along? Are we going to depend upon the arm of flesh? Or are we going to allow the Scriptures, the inspiration of God, to lead and counsel His church? Not yours, and not yours, but Christ's church. I think if we look around the other members of the Restoration, we find very quickly power corrupts. Control corrupts. When man tries to do it their way, power corrupts. Is power knocking on our door? So again, what does the Word, what does the Scripture tell us about the arm of flesh? About the very thing that hopefully we're talking about and getting across here. I think if we look in 2 Chronicles, 32nd chapter, the 7th and 8th verse, it says, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Pardon me, to give you a background, the king of Assyria was coming down against Judah to do battle. And the king of Judah was talking to his people. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us, Lord capitalized, and to fight our battles. The people rested themselves upon the words. Can we rest upon the words? Can we be satisfied? If we look at that and note the 8th verse, it says, but with us, the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. We're followers, brothers and sisters. Every one of us. Look at Isaiah 40, 10th and 11th verse. It says, behold, the Lord God, capitalized, will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed the flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. He will do it. Isaiah 51, 9 and 10 says, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that have cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the Red Sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Ezekiel 30, 20 and 21 says, and it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month, in the seventh day of the month, that the word of the Lord, capitalized, came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and lo, it shall not be bound up to be healed, to put a roller to bind it, to make it strong, to hold the sword. I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, and it will not be healed. Luke 1:46-55 says, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has shewed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Are we his seed? Will we listen and respond? Brothers and sisters, in each of these scriptures read here, I think it's important that we note that the Lord God, which was capitalized, he did the work. He may have used man or a woman, but it was his responsibility. It was his strength then and today, and it was his power and his wisdom that allowed these people to be instruments and allow these occasions to happen. It was for his glorification, and it was his master plan. Wouldn't it be neat if each one of us here in this room, each one of us that we know as our brothers and sisters, could be an instrument in the hands of God? That we could honestly know and be it joyous because we have done it his way and glorified the name of our God above. Stop and think. Who gave Christ the authority to do all the miracles? His Father. Our Father. So, am I saying that everybody that comes down the pike with a reported dream or vision or prophecy or testimony, that we should listen to it? Well, yeah, I am. I really, honestly am. But instead of listening to it with the arm of flesh, I think it's time that we listen to it and allow God above to verify it in our hearts. Not that he's going to say, Ah, it's true. He's already said it in here. He's given us the criteria for the speaking of the still small voice. If you want to ask it, ask it. If you want to seek it, seek it. But make sure it's because your heart wants to, and not because you want to be playing the game to be on the winning team only. So how do we validate all these dreams and these visions and these prophecies and these miraculous healings? Do we verify it through whom it comes through? Or do we verify it through the Holy Scriptures that he's given us? Let's look first at James 1:5-6. He offers us here a way to obtain wisdom. Did he only offer that to Joseph Smith? I think not. I think he allowed that to everybody and anybody that was his child and would bow down on their knees and ask, in faith believing, nothing wavering. Let's look at John, the 8th chapter, the 8th chapter, the 17th and the 18th verse. He says, It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. This is Christ speaking. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. It was through His Word. That isn't something that's made up in the Inspired Version or the King James Version or the New Electronic Version or whatever the other ones are. I don't know what the other ones are. That's what He said in His Word. I can't help it, Martha. I don't know. 1 John 4. The first through the sixth verse says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false witnesses are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Does that mean that we try only the spirits of those that we don't trust? Well, if Jennifer says it, I'm going to do it. Or am I going to kneel down and challenge that spirit just as well? If I go by His Word, I will. Let's look in the Book of Commandments. Over in the 10th chapter. My gracious, that worries me when I start getting tongue-tied, because I've still got a good solid 2.5 hours to go here. And being tongue-tied like that, that's terrible. But the 10th chapter, the 6th and the 7th verse says, And now verily, verily, I say unto thee, Put your trust in that Spirit which leadeth to do good, yea, to do justly, to walk humbly, to judge righteously. And this is my Spirit. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I will impart unto you my Spirit, which shall enlighten your mind, which shall fill your soul with joy. And then shall you know, or by this shall you know, all things whatsoever you desire of me, which is pertaining unto things of righteousness, in faith believing in me, that ye shall receive. Let's look now at the fourth verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, even as you desire of me, so shall it be done unto you. And if you desire, you shall be the means of doing much good in this generation. Say nothing but repentance unto this generation. Keep my commandments and assist to bring forth my work according to my commandments, and ye shall be blessed. This revelation came in 1829 via the stones, the seer stones. It came during a time, and it's addressed to Hiram. But let's look over at the 11th verse and see if when it says over here, say nothing but repentance unto this generation, keep my commandments and assist to bring forth my work according to my commandments, and you shall be blessed. Is he talking to you and I? Let's look in the 11th verse. Behold, thou art Hiram, my son. Seek the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added according to that which is just. Build upon my rock, which is my gospel. Deny not the spirit of revelation, nor the spirit of prophecy. For woe unto him that denieth these things. Therefore, treasure up in your hearts until the time which is my wisdom, that you shall go forth. Now that's talking to Hiram. Behold, I speak unto all who have good desires and have thrust in their sickles to reap. The criteria that we have established as a Church of Christ is that we will only accept those revelations that are in agreement with the Bible and with the Book of Mormon. I cannot find anything in this revelation that goes contrary to that. David Whitmer is very strong about the fact that the revelations, many of the revelations that came while Joseph still had the seer stones, were dealing towards the creation, the involvement, and the workings, mechanics of the church. So consequently, in that light, if you doubt it, that's no big thing. I don't mind. If you doubt it, though, the thing is not to come and argue with me. The thing is to get on your knees and pray to God, just like the Bible, the Book of Mormon, and that revelation tells us. Get on your knees, but when you get on your knees to ask God with faith, believing, nothing wavering, and with an open mind that you shall receive. Not what you want, but what God desires you to receive. That's the criteria. And when you get it, be courageous enough. Be strong enough to come back and witness to all that His Word is true and just. Because the good news of God is for everybody, not just the chosen few that sits in these rooms. That point, I think we can look to page 712 of the Book of Mormon, which is the Book of Moroni. Oops. It's almost the Book of Moroni. It's the Book of Mormon. Chapter 4, the 84th and the 87th verse says, "Behold, I say unto you, that whosoever believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in mine, in the name of Christ, it shall be granted him. And this promise is unto all, even unto the ends of the earth." That's today. "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." That's a promise. Get excited, because that's for you and for me and for everybody. Another promise that he leaves us. Now we can go to page 776, which is Moroni, the 10th chapter. The 14th and 18th verse. "And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief." Brothers and sisters, if we don't make it through that crossroads, is it going to be because God wasn't there to help us? Or is it going to be because we didn't ask? And when we didn't ask, did we not ask because we didn't believe we'd get it anyway? And did we believe that if we got it, we was going to get not what we believed we got anyway? Or something like that? I think many times, when we look at these scriptures, we do like they did in Mark 6, the first to the sixth chapter. Mark 6, the first through the sixth verses, which says, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him." Christ going back to his original place. "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" The men of his own area that knew him when he was just a little bitty guy, asking, where'd he get this wisdom? By what authority does he speak and perform these miracles? "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Steamboat, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house." And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Are we there? Are we standing in that village with those men questioning the carpenter? Are we questioning our carpenter here in Colorado? Are we questioning our teacher down in Phoenix? Are we questioning the heart of our policeman in Independence? Or the housewife over in Utah, or the secretary? What right do we have to question anybody? What right do we have but to go to God above and ask that we be given the strength necessary to serve and to rejoice in the good news that we have? Do we limit God with the lust of man? What does he have to do to convince us? When is enough really enough? Jenny asked me that a second ago. And I think it's when we be still and listen and know that he is God. And then when we pick up the Book of Mormon and when we look in Jacob, the second chapter, the 23rd through the 28th verse, and we read, we can have faith that we can be a part. But before ye seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. What good would that do? And after ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain of riches if ye seek them, and ye will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, and to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. One time there was this minister, I can't help it, I got to tell another story. One time there was this minister. He was a new minister, just gotten out of the seminary, and he went down to this church, you know. And don't misunderstand, folks, I am not prejudiced, but this is the way the story goes, and it was given at a camp, so I'm not being sarcastic, but I think it's rather indicative whether you use the dialogue or not. But he said, he was a new preacher, and he worked real hard on his sermon, you know, and he got up there the first Sunday, and he said, "Brothers and sisters, if everybody here will just donate a dollar, this church can crawl." And he said, "Amen for the crawl, Rev. Amen for the crawl." He said, "Brothers and sisters, if this church will just donate $5 per person, this church can run, can walk. For $5, this church can walk, brothers and sisters." And they said, "Amen for the walk, Rev. Amen for the walk." And he says, "Brothers and sisters, if this church, each body here, will just donate $10, this church can run." They said, "Amen for the crawl, Rev. Amen for the crawl." Is that where we are? Are we crawling when Jesus Christ stands in our midst and beckons us to come unto Him and seek His will? When you repent, God forgives your sins. Then God forgets your sins and my sins. Are we going to live on history all of our lives? Are we going to look forward to the scriptures and the good news that we have? And are we going to run for just $7.99? That's all it takes. We have the choice, brothers and sisters, because the balance of that scripture reading, and I hope and pray that I didn't offend anyone with that story, but I think it's indicative of the human race. "And now, my brethren, I have spoken unto you concerning pride, and those of you which have afflicted your neighbor and persecuted him, because ye were proud in your hearts of the things which God hath given you, what say ye of it? Do ye not suppose that such things are abominable unto him who created all flesh? And the one being is as precious in his sight as the other. And all flesh is dust, and for the self same end hath he created them. That doesn't mean that Brother Housenick can teach the teachings of Jesus Christ and I can teach him another way. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I think the place to start, I think the place for hope is on our knees together, praying that the God above will hear and answer our prayer, and that he'll let us do it his way. I pray to God above that in some way God has allowed me to be an instrument in his hand and a contribution has been made. But brothers and sisters, if you want to know if what I've given you is true, all you have to do is get on your knees and pray. Because just like our forefathers, he is anxious to witness to us today. Don't you think that when God sees a group of people gathered together in his name, and he's looking down at you with your smiling faces, when he looks in your heart and knows what you're seeing, don't you think that's a satisfaction? That's happiness to our Father above? What sacrifice, what gift can you give your master? What joy? May God bless us all, and may he endorse the total Colorado reunion. For brothers and sisters, this is the first day of the rest of our lives. Use it well, and may God bless you.